17 minutes to 9 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, and on Saturday afternoon, the IPSS medical rescue teams were alerted to an alarm that went off indicating that the baby box in Umhlali had been activated. Volunteers and IPSS medical rescue personnel quickly responded, and in the box they found a healthy, beautiful baby boy. The report that came in said that there were no circumstances known at the time, but the baby has been placed in the care of Hearts That Hope. Authorities have been notified, and the story was incredibly touching. A lot of people questioned, what on earth are we talking about? A baby box? And to tell us all about it, we've got Millie Hertz, who is behind the project in this area, along with medical rescue superheroes, Tina Stunder and Dylan Merrick. Welcome to you all, folks, on this rather interesting Tuesday morning. Interesting in a number of ways. Was the 30 years ago, the Rugby World Cup final. Yay! Weren't we all happy about that? And then suddenly, check, 30 years later, we're all chewing nails again. But hey, there are good stories and good people in the world to celebrate. This is one of those. So welcome to you all. Millie, why don't you kick off and explain to us what this Baby Saver project is all about?
Well, the main aim of the Baby Saver is to prevent unsafe abandonment. And this is done through awareness. And we have school programs that run in local schools in the community. We also do school visits where we just try to raise awareness and try to prevent teen pregnancy. There is a very famous quote by Desmond Tutu that says, there comes a point when we need to stop pulling people out of the river and go upstream and see why they're falling in. So we try and prevent teen pregnancy and try and make people aware and try and prevent unsafe baby abandonment.
And is it clearly it is a major problem. I was doing some research before our chat, and globally it's a problem, infants being abandoned because people find themselves in desperate circumstances, terrifying circumstances often, and sadly many infants are simply abandoned, and statistically their chances of survival like that are very limited, very low. Your project addresses this in a much more humane and gentle fashion. Why don't you talk us through the process?
Well, being compassionate to the mother is a really important factor in all of this, you know.
But you never get to see the mother.
No. We do have people who contact us who are in unplanned pregnancy because we are a pregnancy help organization. And we do speak to people on the phone. We have a phone
number. It's not just an anonymous dropping in the box of the baby?
No, it is. It is. But we have people who make contact who are in situations where they need help. And we try and help them before that point. And legally, because abandonment is illegal, we have to say, if somebody does make contact to say, I'm going to put the baby in the saver, I have to say, I strongly suggest that you contact a social worker and go through the legal process of adoption. I legally have to say that because currently baby abandonment is illegal in South Africa, as I think it always will be, and we currently do not have a safe haven law. But there is a petition where Baby Savers SA is trying to make so that it's not criminalized to have a baby saver, so that they're not criminalized.
So at the moment, if you put a baby in the baby box, you're breaking the law?
Technically, yes.
Ay. And therefore, you are aiding and abetting criminal activity here. Dylan,
well,
leave now immediately.
There's a gray area in the law.
On the way to catch
There's a gray area in the law that because you are saving a life, therefore I am not committing a crime by having the baby saver, but they do want to outlaw the baby savers. It is something they're trying to do at the moment, and it's something we really hope that they won't do, because in the long run, I think there will be so many more babies that die in fields and drains and toilets.
You know, I remember 2 years ago having an interview with the organizers of this project, and it was then I thought, firstly, solution to a problem. What a brilliant solution to a problem. But practically, I wondered how it was going to work. And clearly, what happened on the weekend demonstrates exactly this. So the IPSS response must have been quite incredible. Tennis, were you there?
Yes, good morning. So I was there, and from my side, we see the dark and the ugly a lot more than the good. So I did go out to this baby, found him in fantastic condition, and I remember saying to Millie...
How were you alerted to it? Is there an alarm on the box?
So yes, there's a panic alarm that triggers on the box.
And that goes through your control room?
It goes to various role players, mainly the organization, and then us as IPSS do monitor that as well. So what happens is the box then locks, so once it's triggered, you can't open it again unless you have access via remote, which only a handful of people have. So that eliminates the criminal aspect of someone else trying to steal the baby or you know, do something horrible to it. But coming back to the arrival on the scene, expecting in my line of work someone sick, someone unhealthy, someone in bad condition. And it was a mind boggle for me because this kid was perfectly healthy. And I remember looking up saying to Millie, wow, this is why we support this, because we often see the other side where we get called to body recoveries.
Wow.
In the back of the sugarcane, and you know, there was no chance for that child.
Yes. So it is a real problem. We're not just hypothesizing, folks. This is you know, you guys deal with it all the time, and the tragedy of that thing can't be overemphasized. I think the tragedy of anyone finding themselves, for a mother to find themselves in a situation where they can't provide a life for the child that has come through them, and there must be an incredible wrestle with the emotions of that. And I think probably one of the greatest acts of love I can think of would be to take your little one to a place of where you know they're going to be safe. And that's what this project, this is why it's touched me so much, this notion of an organization that would care so much about, well, a life, that you would create an entire mechanism to make available that option, so that abandonment isn't the end of the line. And I think that there's not a soul that I've spoken to that doesn't want to in some way support this initiative. So, Millie, how can people listening to this help you to continue the work that you're doing?
Well, awareness is key, and social media is a very powerful tool to be able to share information. A lot of people don't know that there are other baby savers, that there are over 30 baby savers in South Africa. Just reading the comments on IPS's post, people were saying, oh, we wish we had a baby saver in this area and in Gauteng and here and there. And there are, in fact, baby savers there. It's just that people don't know about it. So to go to the Baby Savers SA website and to share the directory of the different baby savers, to sign the petition is really important, to have a safe haven law. So in America, they have a safe haven law where there are certain drop-off points where it's, you know, like fire stations where babies can be left. And for us to have a safe haven law as well would be absolutely amazing and save so many lives as well. So I don't know, maybe you could, I could send you the link for the petition and you could share it.
Why
as well.
Don't, this is going up as a podcast, so you can, whatever you say will be then preserved and passed on. So give us the details.
It's basically a petition to sign to have a safe haven law in South
Africa. Is that on your website?
It's not on my website because it's Baby Savers SA. It's their petition. But I will share the details for you to share, but it will be on their Facebook page, but I'll get the correct link so that it's so much more easy to find.
Okay, and locally, how does your work impact the community locally?
Well, we hope it's impacting the teenagers that we present our sexual health program to. It's a 9-week program where we cover different topics such as STIs, and contraception and HIV and basic sexual health. And
and is this under the auspices of a religious organization or an NPO? Or
it's done under Project Life, and we are trained under Pregnancy Health Network. So we are part of two networks that we are accountable to and that we can also turn to for support. So we're part of Baby Savers South Africa, but as a pregnancy help organization, we are also part of Pregnancy Health Network. So we have been trained. There is an official program, you know, curriculum that's been specifically written for teenagers in South Africa to prevent to prevent these things like unplanned pregnancy and STIs and HIV and so on. So it's a really fun curriculum. It's really interactive. There's no...
It's interesting to see that teenage pregnancy is kind of out of control, particularly in the Durban area. And there was a news item the other day indicating that there is a huge problem in Durban schools. I suppose the same problem exists on the North Coast. We just don't hear about it. So you're dealing with a massive, massive problem. Is there any kind of light at the end of the tunnel?
I think education and awareness is the light at the end of the tunnel, I like to think. Maybe that's very idealistic to think that way, but I do think it can make a difference.
Well, you are making a difference.
I think letting girls have this information at a younger age rather than later. You know, we have approached schools. We've approached many schools where we've been turned down, where we've been told, you can't possibly talk to 12-year-old girls about sex. You're going to give them ideas. And the truth is, they know all about sex already.
They've already got the ideas.
They have cell phones and they've been told by their friends. So, but you also don't want to introduce this program too young, because then, you know, you can also do damage and remove, you know, a child's innocence in their mind. So, but I mean, the stats in South Africa, Stats SA, the most recent update was that over 90,000 girls aged 10 to 19 gave birth between March 2021 to April 2022.
And those are old statistics. So those are old stats. It's probably worse now.
Yeah. So, and then there was another newspaper article that was published last year, August, that between April and August last year, just in the Eastern Cape, there were 100 girls aged 10 to 14 who gave birth. I mean, 10, 11, 12-year-old girls giving birth. I mean, it's your mind can't actually comprehend that. These girls are still babies. And now they're having babies. Their little bodies are not.
I think that to a degree, there's a whole stack of stuff behind it. It's not just, you know, moral issue. I think there's also, sadly, this whole dependency on grants and child support grants, and people are now encouraged almost.
Yeah, it's definitely
to go and have
not,
kids.
It's definitely not something that can be solved, you know, as a social issue that can be solved in isolation. It's such a complicated matter. There's not one solution to the problem, but hopefully education and awareness can be a tool to prevent these unplanned pregnancies amongst teenagers, because obviously teenage girls are a lot more vulnerable to abandon their babies. So they are in that age bracket that makes them more vulnerable for abandonment.
Well, you're doing extremely interesting, difficult, hard work, and of course in partnership with the medical professionals that swoop in to assist in
matters.
Absolutely.
I could not be more grateful to be working with IPSS Medical, and I will sing their praises all day long. I'm so grateful for their assistance, and they were just absolutely phenomenal. So thank you again, Dylan and Tinus. And I would also just like to go back to what you said earlier. I know you were only joking, but they are not involved in any illegal activity. I just want to specify that. That is not true at all. Never.
we would never,
no,
ever cost aspersions of that nature. Not on our friends. No, IPSS Medical Rescue has been with us from the beginning in terms of information and support, and we value the work that they do greatly, as indeed do we value the work of volunteers like yourself and your team and everyone that cares enough to do a little bit to make the world a better place. We salute you all. And this will be up as a podcast shortly, folks. So if you're only just joining me and wondering what we're talking about, well, it all goes back to the rescue on the weekend of a little abandoned infant that was placed in a box, a proper rescue facility implemented by my guests this morning. And this story, hopefully, is going to have a very different outcome to what it could have been without the intervention of this facility. As I say, it will all be explained to you. If you've missed the intro and the body of the conversation, it'll be up as a podcast shortly, and you'll be able to share it. My very special guests, Millie Hertz, and Tinus Stunder, Dylan Merrick, who sat very quietly in the corner. It's unusual But it happens sometimes. Just smiling and nodding, and there it is. That's what he does best. But he's the driving force behind IPSS Medical Rescue. Thank you so much for joining me on The Morning Show. And The Morning Show continues.